Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network. We are happy to be with you guys on today. I am so blessed to be with you guys on today. It is a very, if you're listening to me right now, it is Saturday. You know it's Saturday. We know it's all Saturday, amen, right here on the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. Yes, we are live on the air in Jesus' name. Today, we are so blessed because we have a very, very dynamic topic today. And pray for me because I'm going to try to do this the way the Lord told me, the way the Lord advised me to do it. And we are going to talk about the power of prayer on today. I know we've talked about it before. The power of prayer, it goes a long, long way. And the basis, we're going to be talking about what prayer is. We're going to be talking about what prayer does. We're going to talk about the different ways to pray to God. And prayer, now, first thing I want to say before we get started is prayer can change anything. Amen. Prayer can change anything. Prayer can change lives. Prayer can change situations. Prayer can change things that you see, in your life that in man's eyes may not be able to be changed. Prayer can make things different. Amen. And it is what prayer is. It is just a communication. It's just like having communication with someone. You're having a conversation and you two are talking, basically. And I'm going to use Bishop Cook as an example. Me and Bishop Cook are having a conversation. She's conversating to me. I'm conversating to her. That is what prayer is from us as people of God to the Lord himself and vice versa to the Lord to us. That is the way he communicates to us. That's the way we communicate to him through prayer. Now, in that, we must not take prayer lightly. A lot of people take prayer lightly, and more ways than one. And you might say, well, how do we take prayer lightly if we're communicating with God all the time? Because some people use prayer as a way of telling God what they want. Amen. They don't use prayer to ask God what he wants from them. They treat God like a Santa Claus, and I've said that on the show before. They use prayer as a way to tell God what they want, and that's what prayer is. We're supposed to communicate with God like that, but we don't need to be doing all the talking in prayer. Sometimes we miss the answers that we need from the Lord because we don't know how to let God speak to us. We don't know how to sit there and wait for God to speak to us. We allow God, we allow ourselves to do all the talking through that prayer. And that is to me, and this is my own personal opinion, and you can disagree with me, to me that is a wrong frame of mind going into prayer. It is. I'm just being honest. It's the wrong frame of mind because the power, the prayer in general is a very, very powerful tool and needs to be used while we're in our walk with Christ. You can't go through your walk with Christ without praying. You can't. You won't make it without prayer. The Bible says in the Bible, it speaks of prayer without ceasing. Amen. Man should always pray. You should always have a communication with the Lord at all times. Every day of your life, you should have communication with the Lord at all times. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's about your finances. I don't care if it's about your health. I don't care what it is. You should always have communication with the Lord at all times. Now, in that communication, there are different ways. Just like the Lord has many different ways of communicating with us, there are many different ways to communicate with the Lord in prayer. You can pray, first of all, one of the ways that I personally pray, and I'm just throwing this out here, in school, like when I was going to school and stuff, you know, schools would tell the children, there's not allowed to be no praying. And then we're not allowed to pray, you know, it's a moment of silence or whatever, but you're not allowed to pray in school. And they took prayer out of school. I know everybody remembers when they took prayer out of school and everything. But my former pastor, used to say to the children, schools did not take prayer out of the schools. The government did not take prayer out of schools because even though you can't pray out loud, you can still pray in your mind. They can't take that away from you. So you could still pray. And that's been one of the tools that I've always used, even after I've gotten out of school, is praying in my mind. You don't want, and you know one thing, that is a good tool for you to use, and praying in your mind is a good tool to use when you don't want the enemy to know what you're praying about. Because I remember my dad told one of my relatives one time, they were having a conversation, and they were talking about my relative that my dad was talking to. He was talking to him about being saved, and that relative told my father, you know I'm saved because I pray to God to wake me up at a certain time, and I woke up right at that time. And my dad began to tell that relative, okay, look, when you prayed that prayer, did you pray out loud? And the individual said, yes, I did. I prayed out loud. And my dad began to tell them, okay, don't you know that when the Lord heard you, the devil heard you too? So if you pray in your mind, the devil does not know your thoughts. Only God knows your thoughts. Even before you think them, the devil does not have the power to know your thoughts before you think them. The devil does not know what's in your head. That's some of the reason why we give the enemy, some of the reason why the enemy attacks us so much is what we say out loud. You ain't got to agree with me, but that's the truth. That is definitely the truth. That is definitely when a person is praying out loud, the devil hears you too. The enemy hears you, and you know demons hear you. Even people hear you when you're praying, and it's not good to always pray out loud. It's not good. It's not always good to pray out loud. Sometimes it's good to just praying. There's different ways of praying. There's praying in your heavenly language. Those are two ways that the devil does not understand when you're praying. If you're always praying in English, yeah, the devil's going to hear your prayer just as well as the Lord does. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you chew it. And this is the honest truth. The honest God truth. You should somewhere in your prayer life pray in your heavenly language if you have the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to say that again, if you have the Holy Ghost, you should sometime pray in your heavenly language. The reason why I say we should pray in our heavenly language, that is another deterrent from the enemy. When you pray in your heavenly language, the enemy does not understand you when you pray in your heavenly language, because that is communication between you and the Lord. That's just like me having that's just like two people that speak Spanish and I'm speaking English. I don't understand the lick of Spanish. I don't understand it. Don't. Like, for real, I don't understand Spanish. Now, if it's two people speaking Spanish and I don't understand them, they can have a full-fledged conversation. They can say whatever they want to say. I don't understand the lick of what they're saying. It's confusing because I try to get in on the conversation not knowing what they're saying. It's going to be confusing for me if I don't understand Spanish and they over here speaking fluent Spanish. It's just that way. That's the same thing with the enemy. If you're praying in your heavenly language, the devil does not understand what you and God are talking about. And it's also good to pray in your heavenly language too, because the Spirit, you go into intercessory prayer, which means intercessory prayer means you're praying for people that you don't even know. You're praying for things that you don't even know. The Spirit cries out for you. The Spirit starts making intercession. Not you. It's the Spirit that makes intercession for people and situations and problems and things. And that's the power. And look, you might say, well, Minister Adam, I've done so much and the Lord doesn't hear my prayer. I had somebody literally tell me, this is the honest God's truth. I had one of my friends one time tell me that they didn't want to pray because they felt like God didn't hear them because of all the stuff that they did. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to say this. God hears everybody. Now, whether you're a saint or a sinner, God hears everybody. Now, he understands. Now, I'm going to say it like this, because I hear some people say that God doesn't hear sinners. That's wrong. That's false. God does hear sinners. If they have a heart of repentance, if they have a heart of repentance, and if they're truly, truly being serious with God, God does hear them, whatever the situation might be. If that person is being serious in their praying and they are a sinner, God does hear them. I'm not going to sit over here and say that because God heard the woman at the well. God heard the woman at the well, because I can guarantee you that what she was doing ate her up inside. She didn't. There's some people that lie dormant in sin, and there's some people that don't have enough power to come out of sin because they don't have the Holy Ghost and they don't know the way out. They haven't been taught the way out. So they continue in it. That doesn't give them an excuse to sin, but That is part of it. That doesn't give them the excuse to continue to sin, because nobody will leave here without an excuse, okay? God is going to give everybody a chance to be saved. Amen. But on the flip side of that, you do not, I can't sit over here. I'm not going to sit over here and say on this show right now that a sinner cannot be heard through prayer. A sinner can't be heard by God through prayer. I'm not going to say that. Because the Bible says he reigns over the just as well as the unjust as well. So I can't say that. I'm not going to. He hears the sinner just as well as he hears the saint. Now, will a saint's prayer be answered maybe quicker? Probably yes, especially if they're living right, because they're living for the Lord and they're doing the things for the Lord. Not saying that that saint is better than the sinner, but if that saint is living for the Lord and in righteousness, because the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And man, that's what the Bible says. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. So I can honestly say that he would probably, the Lord would probably hear a saint and do more for a saint because they're in righteousness. And they're living for the Lord. They're doing what the Lord tells them to do. They're living holy. Yeah, he's going to reward them. He's probably going to move for them fast. I'm not going to say that he looks down on the sinner, because he doesn't. He doesn't look down on anybody. He has no respect of person. But what I am going to say is that when you pray, it is to be sincere. Everybody's prayers are to be sincere. You can't, and that's another thing too, you can't come to God any kind of way. There's some people that pray and they come to God any kind of way, and that's a shame, especially if you're a saint. If you were a saint and you coming to God any kind of way and you know better, and I done seen it in the church, they come to God any kind of, and they ain't just talking about prayer. They come to God in prayer any kind of way. They come to God with praise any kind of way. They come to God. I'm like, come on now. Y'all know better. Like, for real. It's hot. You know, it's time for the saints of God to stop mamby-pambying. It's time for that. It's time to stop mambying and pambying and buttering up and babying the things of the world. It's time. It's time for us as people of God to step up and step out and speak out against what God has said is sin, what God has said is wrong, and not just wrong in other people's lives, but wrong in our own lives. It's time for, that's where it starts. It starts in your own house. When you start praying, that prayer starts in your own house. Uh-oh. You might say, well, Mr. Tuggle, what about my sister or my brother or my cousin? Or, yeah, prayer can go for them, but prayer needs to start at your own house. You might say, well, Brother Adam, my sister or my brother needs to be saved. So do you. So do I. Because just as well as we get saved, we are a dollar short and a day late of falling. You might say, well, what do you mean? Without Christ, we would fall. And a lot of us in the church, some of us that are in the church, we look down on other people. We do. And that's why we have such a problem with people with trying to get people to church because we have a problem with putting people down, even in the church, whether they be saint or sinner. We have a problem of looking down on people. Oh, look at that. Look. That, did you see what that brother had on? Did you see what that sister had on? The devil is a lie. Why are you worried about what somebody got on? Uh-oh. It's time to pray, y'all. It's time for the power of prayer to come into fruition. We have mamby-pamby sin. We've even mamby-pambied ourselves. And it's not good. It's not good. We are in a state of emergency. And the Lord keeps having me talk about an emergency. And I was talking to Bishop Cook this past week, and we were talking about something, and I was discussing with her about something, and you know, she was giving me her advice on what I was talking to her about, and it just seemed like one of the things that she said, and it's funny because my pastor, you know, I talked to my pastor about it and everything, and my pastor said the Bishop Cook and my pastor, and I'm going to say this over the air, they have never met before, but they said the same exact thing. That's how I know it was from the Lord. That's how I know it's from the Lord. Because when you pray about it, and this is what I'm saying, when you pray about a situation and you've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, you ain't got to keep coming and asking God. And God done gave you an answer. God done gave you the answer. God done told you through various ways that area of communication with God, keeping that communication with God. Amen. He done communicated with you. He done told you this. He done told you that. He done told you what way to go, and we still ain't done it. It's time to stop mamby-pambying our way of not listening to God and get it right. Go ahead. Get it. Pray about it. And after you done prayed about it, do what the Lord says do. Stop being, if you're in fear, pray. Pray before you go and do that thing. Because the power of prayer works. It works. I'm telling you, it works. It works for me. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you right now. The power of prayer works for me. And I'm going to give this, I'm trying to save it until the Saturday when we do this interview, but I'm gonna talk a little bit about it right now. One of the reasons why I know that the power of prayer works, my father told me about something that happened to me when I was a little boy, and how my heart had stopped beating. I was dead, like for real, like dead. At the door now, and the doctors came in and told my dad, "Hey, he's gone, he's gone." And how my father, he said he wasn't accepting what the doctors were telling him. He began to fall down on his knees and go into deep prayer for me. And the doctors, you know, at that time, thinking about it, but when he said he went in to prayer for me, he knew that the doctors told him, hey, he's gone, he's done, there's nothing else we can do, you know, all of this and that. But my dad kept the faith. That's the one thing that we have prayer. We have to keep the faith. If we don't have faith in prayer, we have nothing. And when my dad went into prayer for me, the doctors came back out and said, Mr. Tuggle, your son's heart done started back up. And they had their chest, they said, we got his heart started back up and everything. And their doctors had their chest poked out and everything. And my dad told them, he said, I thank you for what y'all have done. But it was the Lord that brought my son back. But what if my father just said, forget it, I'm not gonna pray. He's gone. I wouldn't be talking to y'all right now. Do you know that the power of prayer has worked for me in more ways than one? And I have been clinically ill. I've shared some of it before. I was born with a heart condition, and there were plenty of times where I just did not feel. I just didn't feel it. I wasn't feeling it. But the power of prayer, I mean, it worked for me. The Lord stepped in. There were times, and this is the reason, look, my Uncle JC, and we called him Uncle JC. He was Brother Alexander to some and Uncle JC to the children at my former church. And he used to say the church was his hospital. I don't understand how a person, anybody, saint or sinner, can say, I have a relationship with God, but I don't go to church. How? I've said this before, and I know we're dealing with the power of prayer, but I've said this before. How can you have a relationship with somebody and not want to fellowship with them where they want you to fellowship at? But you always want them to fellowship at your house. But you don't ever want to come to their house and fellowship with them. You don't ever want to come to their house and check on them. You don't ever want to come to their house and say, hey, how you doing? Same thing with the Lord. You got a relationship with him, but you don't want to. I don't have to have a relationship with. I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have to. We ain't got no choice, y'all. And let me tell you this. The reason why some of our prayers are not being answered because we're not doing what God has told all of us to do. Uh-oh. I'm going to say it again. The reason why some of our prayers, and I'm including me in there too, the reason why some of our prayers are not being answered the way they should be, are taking forever in our eyes, which is really not taking forever. God is just waiting on us to get where we need to be so he can bless us. But the reason why the prayers are not being answered the way they should be is because we're not in alignment with God. We're not in alignment. We might be partial alignment. We might be half alignment. We need to be in full alignment where God can bless us fully, not partially. There is some blessings, and I don't call myself no prophet. But there are some blessings in people's lives that God is holding back because we have not done what God has called for us to do. There are some prayers that have been prayed that God wants to answer, but we, as people, we tend to get lax in our walk with Christ. We tend to not obey. Oh, Jesus. We tend to not obey because we see we're looking at it in a natural sense instead of a spiritual sense. So we tend to obey the things that we want to obey that we find being easy to do or easy to handle. The hard stuff, the things that we think are hard, we don't want to obey it because we don't want to listen to God, or we don't want to, or we try to find ways around what God has told us to do, to try to get to the other side, because we feel that it's too hard, or it's too long. Let me tell you something. The reason why some of us are not being blessed the way we should be is because the reason why some of our prayers are not being answered is because we're not following the blueprint that God has laid out for us to get to the other side to our blessing. Sorry. That's just the way it is. I can't say it any other way. I have to do it the way, I have to tell it the way God tells me to tell it. If we as people of God do not get it together, if we as people of God do, and if we hindering folks, we got to stop hindering. Stop telling people, stop, please. Please stop telling people, oh, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, I'm going through this, I'm going, this is this way, and this is that way, and I can't do this because of this, and you over there blaming people for a mistake that you made. Uh-oh. Something that God told you to do, or something God told you not to do that you did, and now you blaming everybody else. Uh-oh. That's one thing that I've learned about me. I take full responsibility of my mistakes. Full. More now than I did then, because I was a child, and I didn't want to, you know, back then, back when I was a child, I boy. I just saw my daddy as the enforcer, amen. And my dad, you know, I didn't want to be in trouble by my daddy, so I wouldn't take full responsibility. But I thank God you take full responsibility for your mistakes, and you go, and that's where true repentance comes in, amen. Just take full responsibility for the mistake. And deal with it. We did a show. Just deal with it. We did it on the podcast. Just deal with it. Just deal with it. Just deal with the mistake. Get it right with God. Repent and leave it alone. That's all. Now, I ain't even going to say that's all you got to do. That's all we got to do. Because I'm including myself. That's all I got to do. That's all you got to do. That's all whoever needed. I don't care if it's a thought that you were thinking about that was wrong. Something minute. Just saying. I'm not even talking about if you've committed adultery, if you whatever it might be. Now if you've done that, you need to sit down and be you know, sit down and learn a little bit. And if you learned from it, if you repented of it, and if you really, really learned from it, then you can, you know, go forth in ministry or whatever you were doing. But you have to understand that the power of prayer, it works, but it only works if we're doing our part too. We can't expect the Lord to, we doing everything wrong, and we expect the Lord to do, answer every prayer that we have in our prayer book. Don't work that way. Because God's going to hold back some stuff from us so that we can get our act together. We got something to look forward to. That's all the Lord wants. The Lord wants to bless us. It's just up to us if we wanna do what the Lord says do. We have to realize that, hey, if I can just, and look, let me tell you something. And I've said this before. you and I, we can't get ourselves together. But I've heard some people say, well, after I get myself together, I'm going to go back to church. Don't even try to do it. You're going to fail. I'm just being honest. You're going to fail. You might say, oh, how are you going to say that? Because if you're waiting to get yourself together to get back into church, you're going to fail, because the Lord wouldn't have had to die if you could get yourself together. Make sense? Makes sense, don't it? I'm going to say it again. You're going to fail. I'm going to fail. If I tell myself, okay, I'm gonna wait to go back to church until I get myself together. And the Lord is looking at me like, okay, wait a minute. You're waiting on yourself. You're allowing yourself to stay out of church so that you can get yourself together. And the Lord got his arms stretched wide open, waiting on you to come to him so he can get you together. No. What you need to do is, and this is the honest God's truth, you need to go ahead, repent, and be serious with the Lord, and go ahead and get that thing together, and let the Lord get that thing together. And you know what? You know the first step of getting yourself together is going back. You're getting yourself together if you go back. If you take that one, you know, if the old saying says, if you take one step, God takes two, there you go. Take that one step. Put your foot in that church. Put your foot in that church building. Step right on in there and watch God move. Him move for you. I can't say it enough. God will move for you if you allow him to. But he can't move if we're always kicking against the prick. It's hard to kick against the prick. If we're kicking against the prick, you might as well just say that you can't kick against the prick and expect to be delivered. You can't fight against God's word and expect to be delivered. If God told you to come into his house, if God told you, come on in here, get yourself right, and you're like, no, I'm not gonna do that. I'm just gonna come later. What's the need for you coming if you're not? What's the need of you doing that if you? I'm gonna wait to go to church to get myself together. What's the need of you praying? What's the need for it? What's the need of God dying for you if you could get yourself together? There was no need for it. But I understand two reasons why people, and I know this is about the power of prayer, and I understand that, but there are two reasons why there's two reasons why people say, I'll go back to church once I get my life together. There are two reasons for that. Number one, either they want to stay in the sin that they're in, or number two, they feel so heartbroken that they feel like God has looked down on them and abandoned them or whatever. God has not abandoned anybody. Tell you that now. God ain't abandoned nobody. God will never abandon anybody. I don't care from the richest person on down to the smallest person. He would never abandon anybody. And that's in the word. I'm just saying, that's in the word. That ain't he say, she say. That's in the word, y'all. He said he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. That's in the word. Amen. And for some, and the power of prayer is there to help us stay connected with him. He never denies us communication with him. Anybody. I don't care what color, what creed, what religion. I don't care. If you want him, if you want Jesus Christ, he's there to be found. He's there to be found. I don't care if you are atheist. I don't care. You could be an atheist and not believe in God. I've said it on the show before. My doctor, who was an atheist, did not believe in God at first. He met me, and he was just so amazed about my belief in the Lord that he eventually started believing in God. He started believing in the power of prayer because of what the Lord did for me. It worked, and not only did the things that were wrong with me work to change his mind about God, but me praying for him. You can pray for a person so much that they get delivered. The person will get delivered. I've seen it. I've seen people be healed from mind issues and health issues, and I've heard of testimonies where people have been, to death's door in the power of prayer being prayed, and they were brought back to life. Nothing had happened. My grandfather is a great example. My grandfather, the year before, in 2000, I believe it was 2019, my grandfather went into the hospital and was on life support. Death's door. And I mean death door. They didn't expect him to live through the night. My father and my mother went up to VA hospital to pray for him. My mother went as far as not only to pray for him, but prayed for the people that were in the hospital that were going through stuff in the same unit with him. She was going around, started praying for folks. And you know what? One of his doctors, one of the nurses that was in there checking on him and everything, they said, "Well, why is he so greasy? Why is he so greasy? Look like a greased chicken. What? Why is he so greasy?" And my aunt began to tell them, my sister-in-law used blessed oil on him and prayed for him. And this was why he was still on life support. I kid you not. It took about 2 or 3 days. Now, they didn't expect him to live through the night. 2 or 3 days later, he was up eating and watching football like nothing happened. Like nothing had happened. Up talking, walk, everything. I've seen it happen. I've seen it done. I've seen this happen. I've seen it done. The power of prayer works. We just have to believe and receive. We just have to live, endure, and keep on praying and wait for the blessing to come. Some of the reasons why we're not receiving our blessings is because we have to wait for our change to come. Job said, "I'm going to wait for my change to come." despite, let the winds blow, let the storms of life come, still going to wait. The Lord giveth, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have to have that mentality when we're praying. That's the power of prayer will work when we have that mentality. The mentality of the three Hebrew boys. That three Hebrew boy mentality, that Moses mentality, that at first, no, I'll take that back. The beginning of Moses, when Moses was doubting what God told him to do, we don't need to have that mentality. Because Moses, he had a speech impediment. He didn't think that he would be able to free the children of Israel. Amen? He felt like he was going to go to Egypt and get laughed at. He thought he was going to go before Pharaoh and get laughed at. But once he got his mind together, he went in Jesus' name. He went in the name of the Lord. He went in the name of the Lord and told Pharaoh what God said. He went and he told Pharaoh what God said. And I'm pretty sure Moses was praying, oh, my God. Daniel was praying. Daniel prayed three times a day. You hear me? In the midst of him praying, he wasn't eaten up. He got thrown into a lion's den. But he used the lion's as a mattress and a pillow. Because he had the faith on top of his praying, he had enough faith to believe, hey, look, I don't care what nobody says. Because the king of that time, he made a decree. I ain't going to be no praying to any other gods. But Daniel prayed anyway. He prayed anyway. He did what thus saith the Lord told him to do anyway. That's the mentality we have to have. In spite of what the devil says, in spite of what man says, we still have to pray and then believe that that prayer is going to be answered. The power of prayer works. I'm still at a church that believes in the power of prayer. As a child, I came from a church that believed in the power of prayer. Boy, as they went, they were healed. That's the way I live. I remember, and the Lord can answer any prayer that we pray to him. I remember my son, my baby, he injured his leg, and I mean he injured his leg so bad that we had to take him to the doctor, and I began to pray. And I used the blessed oil that my mom gave me. And when I used that blessed oil, and I prayed the prayer of faith, because that's what prayer is. It's nothing but faith. Faith asking, faith receiving. That's it. That's all that prayer is. It's activating your faith in communication. That's all it is. It's telling God, I'm asking you to do this. I know that you can do this. And I believe that you can do it. That's all it is. The same. But when I go down through my life, And I've been taught how to pray, and I've been shown how to pray. I use that even today, like I said, with my son. My son had an injury on his leg, and I prayed the prayer of faith over him, and he was healed. He was healed, and I mean, he was completely healed. I mean, I went so far, my dog had an injury on her leg, on my dog. I took that blood flow, and we were talking about taking her to the vet, and my wife has said that the vet bill, if they went on and did what they had to do to her leg, it was going to cost this amount of money, and we didn't have it. I'm just telling you, we didn't have it. And I said, and I took that blood oil, and I prayed the prayer of faith over my dog. I did. Yep, sure did. And y'all might laugh at me. I sure did. And I was being sincere with God. I said, Lord, you know we do not have the money to get this dog's leg looked at. We barely had the money to get ourselves looked at right now. But the Lord, I was sincere with God, and I was I wanted the Lord to heal my dog. And the Lord healed. The Lord healed my dog. Because she was limping at first, and a couple of days later, she wasn't limping no more. I'm just saying. But that's what we need to do. We need to pray and believe. That's it. We need to pray and then believe. Pray and then believe. Because if we pray and believe that all things are possible, we'll be all right. That's it. That's the key of prayer. That's it. To ask, to believe, and then to see. That's it. If we ask and we believe, we shall receive. That's it. And anything that you ask God for. Now, the one prayers, there are certain prayers that God won't answer. Now, I hate to go here, but there are some people that pray these types of prayers, and I wish woe unto you if you do this, because it ain't right. If you asking God to get somebody, that's not a prayer you pray. For real. You don't ask God to get nobody because you upset with somebody. Oh, get them, God. You know what they did to me. That God's not answering that. That's praying in vain. That's praying amiss. And that ain't right. And if you're doing it, if you've ever done it, please stop doing it. Don't pray amiss because God ain't hearing it. That's about the only prayer that God is not listening to. When you try to ask God to get somebody. Now, if somebody's bothering you on your job, or if your boss is, you know, you're doing your job, you know what the best thing to do is? Pray for them, but pray blessings over them. Ask the Lord to forgive them so they know not what they do. You know, that hurts them worse. And when I say hurt them worse, I'm not saying it physically hurts them. I'm not saying. But do you know that gets to them better than you praying, Lord, get them? You know what they did to me? The Bible says, love them that despitefully use you. That will get them. If you love, my pastor said you can love hell out of somebody. You can love the hate out of somebody. You can love the devil out of somebody. You love them so much, and you praying for them so much that you can love hate out of somebody. I've seen it happen. I've done it. Somebody at my school, when I was going to school, people made fun of me all the time. people made fun of me. I'm just because I had a disability. I walked with a limp. You know, all that stuff. And there were people that I was praying for that did not like me because of the way I walked. I'm like, Lord, I didn't ask for this. Why are they making fun of me and I didn't even ask for this? Like, what's going on? But the Lord told me to continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for them. That's exactly what I did. Guess what? I had two individuals. I had an individual that came to me as an adult, came on my job. Now, they didn't know I worked there, but they happened to see me working there. And they came to me, and they said, they apologized to me. They apologized to me. And they said, Adam, I am so sorry for the time that I talked about you and did this to you and did that to you. I am so sorry. It ate me up all those years. And I just began to tell them, all is forgiven. You were forgiven when you did it. And this individual, I was, and you might say, well, you weren't really praying for that individual. Yeah, I was really praying for that individual, too. The other individual I was really praying for. And I told him, I sat there and prayed for you. I had a guy on my job was messing with me. On one of my jobs that I used to work. And the guy told me, he said, I'm going to do all I can to fire you because I don't like what you stand for. He told me to my face. And I would go home worried and everything. And my former pastor, she said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray. And we prayed the prayer of faith. And one day, this person came on the job, got real sick. I never prayed, God, get them. Lord, sick them. I didn't do that. I prayed prayer. I prayed blessings upon their life. I prayed that they will have a prosperous life. I prayed, Lord, forgive them so they know not what they do. They don't know what they're talking about. Lord, forgive them. But God, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The Bible also says, touch not my anointed and be my prophet no harm. He don't like it when God don't like it when his children are messed with. I'm going to tell you that now. Especially if you really walking with the Lord, you better keep your mouth, those that are listening. If you got your mouth on a servant of God and they really serving God, better keep your mouth off of them because God said, touch not my anointed and be my prophet, no harm. He means what he says. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The kingdom suffers violent, but the violent take it by force. Amen. He mean that. That's what he means. He ain't playing. He is not. God is not playing with us. God is not playing with anybody. When he says in his word, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm, that's exactly what he means. And he mean that for everybody. Saint or sinner, he don't care. If you got your mouth, you talking about the prophet of God, and you talking about the servant of God, you better be ready for conflict. You better leave them alone, because I promise you, you're going to get a rude awakening. I'm just saying. But this guy was messing with me on my job, and after I prayed that prayer, couple days later, came in sick, and he was sitting at a computer, and I was sitting there ringing customers out and everything, and he knew I went to church, he knew I was, apostolic, he knew all of that and everything, he knew I was, in holiness or whatever, and all of a sudden, he stopped what he was doing at the computer, and he was holding his chest over, and I said, "Are you all right?" He said, "No, I'm not." I said, "What's wrong?" He said, I'm having trouble. My head is hurting, and I'm feeling dizzy, and some other stuff," he said. And he said, "Adam, will you pray for me?" And I looked and said, "Yeah, I'll pray for you." And I said it just like that. And he said, "You will?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "What made you think I won't?" Because that's the question I asked him, because he said it like that, like I wasn't going to do it, like I wasn't going to pray for him. And I said, I just went on and asked him, "What made you think I won't?" He said, "Because of all the things that I said and did to you, I didn't think you were going to pray for me." I said, "You can do whatever you," I said, "a person can do whatever they want to me. If they ask me for prayer, I'm going to pray for them. I don't care if they goody-goody two-shoes. I don't care if they the worst of the worst. I'm going to pray for them." And I went on and prayed for him. But you know what? Out of me doing that, you know, God stepped in. God not only healed him, but he moved him out of that place. All because I let the Lord fight the battle. I went in my... See, we don't have to fight the battle at all. In the way we fight is not the same way man fights. We don't fight the battle with guns and weapons. The weapons of all warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casts down, and the power of prayer casts that thing out. Demons got to flee at the power of prayer. When God is called upon, when you call on the name of Jesus, demons tremble at the name. What happens with the power of prayer? That's what happens with the power of prayer. Once we come to the realization that, hey, God got this. God's got this. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do nothing. You hear me? I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to move. I didn't even have to break a sweat. That's how good God is. God will make sure that you don't have to break a sweat. You don't have to break a sweat. You hear me? You ain't got to say nothing to nobody. And God will move for you. You ain't got to say nothing. You ain't got to do nothing either. Only thing you got to do is just pray. And watch God move. Let me share something with y'all. Let me share something. When you move in the anointing of prayer, and you don't move of your flesh, but you move in the Spirit of Christ, I guarantee you, I can guarantee you that when God hears your prayers, if you move underneath the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, and you move that way, I can guarantee you. And you might say, "Well, you can't put a guarantee on." Oh yeah, yes you can. I can guarantee you that once you get in that place, you get to that place where, that place of, I don't care how it looks, I don't care how it seems, I don't care what it looked like, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray. And when I pray, God's going to hear me. Mm-hmm. When I pray, God's going to hear my very cry. When I pray, God is going to be the one to do this. I ain't got to do nothing. I ain't got to move nothing. I ain't got to do none of that. Power in prayer. It becomes, once you pray and believe, hear me, once you pray and believe that God is going to do it exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ever ask or think, that's when. That's when. That's when you get the blessing. That's when you get the, thank you. That's when problems start, problems leave you. Hear me. I want you to understand this. God, once God hears your prayers and you live in life and you leave it in the hands of God, you done prayed, you done prayed for a family member. You got a family member. And I'm talking to whoever I'm talking to. Don't worry about your family members. Don't have a headache over your family members, your children, your husband, your wife. Pray the prayer of faith. Pray the prayer of faith. You waiting on the blessing. Pray the prayer of faith and watch God move. And I mean pray. Pray, and when I say I mean pray believing God is going to do it. Don't pray like, okay, God, I know you can do it, but really I don't believe. Shouldn't be no doubt. Shouldn't be no doubt in your mind. If there is doubt in your mind, get it out your mind. For real, get it out your mind. Don't you let the enemy trick you. Don't let the enemy trick you up into thinking, hey, I can pray, but it ain't going to happen. Job's wife was like that. You know, why don't you curse God and die? The vision that God has given you when you pray, that's why I said it before. We don't need to tell everything. We don't need to tell everything. Especially the prayers that we done prayed, we don't need to tell everybody every prayer that we prayed. Stop telling people about the prayers that you prayed and you wonder why your prayers are being hindered. Don't you know that people pray against you? It's the devil, but still. It's wrong for them to do so, but still. You don't want somebody praying against you, stop talking. Pray and then leave it alone. Praying and leave it alone. Don't tell nobody about this or that. Don't do that. Just pray. Just pray. Let your pastor know so you have somebody, you know, praying with you, but you ain't got to tell every soul. Because every soul ain't happy for you. Now, I've gotten to a place where in my life, I don't share everything that's going on in my life. And I've gotten, and I'm not saying this to sound like, hey, I'm this or I'm bad or I'm better. What I am saying is that I don't share everything because I don't want everybody knowing about my problems. I don't like it. I don't like everybody knowing. There are some things that I don't even share with my. Sometimes there are some things I don't share with my wife. Like if I'm like now if it's something physical, like health wise, or something like that, where I need to go to the hospital right then, yeah, I'll tell her. But if I'm going through a little bit of pain or something like that, I don't share it. I pray and I let the Lord deal with it. I'm learning how to do that. And I thank God that I'm doing it more now than I did then. And it was a process of me getting to where I am now. It was a process. It was a long process. Long process. But I got there. And I'm thankful. And sometimes some people have gotten real upset with me because they ask me, are you all right? And I'm saying I'm all right, and they know I'm not all right. The people that know me know me. No, I'm not all right. Well, okay. All right. I know you're not all right, but okay. No, I'm fine. I tell my parents, my father's a good example. Both my parents are good examples. If I tell them something, and somebody else is a good example too, but I ain't going to say their name. They know who they are. But if I tell my dad, or if my dad asks me, and I don't know if it's, I'm not going to say it's all, part of it is because that's my father, but part of it is because I can't keep nothing from him no way, because that's just my dad, and my dad knows me, and the Holy Ghost will let him know. Even at being 33, almost 34 years old, he still knows when I'm not. He even knows now. Like I can tell him right now that, hey, there's nothing wrong with me, Pop. And he'll be like, y'all done hurt my mama too, my mother too. My mother is the same exact way. I could tell her, oh, no, that's how I'm all right, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, okay, yeah, right. What's going on? That's the way she is. That's the way my mama and dad are. The my mother and my father, I remember one time my dad told me, he said, everything you do, I'll know about it because it's my job. If that wasn't no bit but the truth, he knows even now, he still knows his son. I'm just being honest. He knows his son. He knows his son. And I love my father, and I love my mother. And when I talk about them, I hold my parents up to a high standard, and I hold my dad, especially my father, because my dad has prayed me through some stuff. My mother has prayed me through some stuff that, should have taken me out of here years ago. And I ain't just talking about health-wise either. I'm just talking about in general. My mother and my father have taught me and my brothers and my sister how to pray. My mother, almost every night, would anoint us, every single one of us. And one of the things that my mother did was, when she would anoint us, she would always say she would never leave out the blood of Jesus. Even if she wasn't, going into deep, deep prayer, she would always say, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Cover Adam with your blood. Cover Marquise with your blood. Cover Melissa with your blood. Cover Wesley with your blood. Cover John with your blood. It's because she knew what the power of prayer did. She knew what the blood of Jesus would do. She knew if she couldn't do it, she knew that the blood of Jesus could. She knew this. That's why she prayed so hard. My mother, and I'm going to be honest, my mother is a praying woman. My grandmother, my dad's mother, was a praying woman. When I say she prayed, she was a praying woman, y'all. She prayed. My biological mother, she is a praying woman. My grandmother is a praying woman. My great-grandmother was a praying woman. I've done had praying people down through my life. All down through my life, I've had praying people. And they would pray the prayer of faith. And they knew what the power of prayer was about. And then after 33 years, I know what the power of prayer is about because I've had people to look at to know what the power of prayer was about. I know how it works. I know. All of us should know it. All of us should know what the power of prayer can do. We should all know. You can't go through this life without knowing about the power of prayer. Can't do it. You will not be able to go through this life. You will not be able to have a relationship with Christ without having prayer in your life. Can't do it. Sorry. But your life will not be complete without the power of prayer. Just saying. I hope that this topic has blessed you on today. I pray that you use the power of prayer in your life. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. This is the Spirit Alive Network. And we pray over here on the Spirit Alive Network. We pray for you all, the listeners that listen from every country around the world. We pray for you. And we know that the power of prayer works. Amen. And I just want to say this before we go, before we leave, that everything you need is in the house of God. Everything you need. Is in the house of the Lord. Everything you need is in the house of God. Like I said, I pray that you have a very, very blessed week. I pray that the blessings of God be upon your life and that heaven will smile upon you on this week. In Jesus' name, I pray. I pray abundance of blessings upon your life. For the ones that said, and I'm talking to the people that have told me that prayer is not useful. For the ones that have told you that it can't be done. This is a word of encouragement for you. It can be. You have to look to the hills from which cometh your help, because your help cometh from the Lord. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. Each and every one of you. In Jesus' name. And as my grandmother used to say, if I don't see you again or if you don't hear my voice again, I'll see you in the rapture. In Jesus' name. Make sure you continue to wear your mask. I know We haven't been talking about it here on the show, but continue to wear your mask. I do believe that the Lord is getting ready to completely deliver us from this COVID-19, deliver the world, not just the United States, but the world, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you, in Jesus' name. And until next week, this is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Live Network. God bless you, in Jesus' name.